"Just a little more, child. We're nearly there." Nifu refused to stop until his daughter was safely aboard the freighter. The air was rich and heavy with the familiar sounds and smells of the quayside. Rickshaw pulling hawkers beckoning to customers. Gangs of grunting, sweating coolies, shouldering giant loads balanced on springy bamboo poles. Sweet incense smoking and food cooking on charcoal braziers. Nifu watched spirited peasants from the countryside hustle potatoes and chickens. Only their cardboard signs with scribbled prices inflating a dozen times each day spoiled the ordinariness of the scene. As always, clusters of beggars, their matted hair and bare feet blackened with grime, slept silently by the side of the road like stray cats. They'd been there under the British, the Japanese, and the Kuomintang. Passing the sleeping figures, Nifu wondered if they'd still be there now that Mao was so close to Shanghai. The image reflected in a shop window startled him. Only 35, yet his jet-black hair was pebbled with silver. He sighed. Too much had happened too quickly. In less than a week, he'd lost his wife, his newborn son, and his younger brother. Too soon to feel the depth of his pain. A hand tapped Nifu's shoulder. Turning quickly, he was relieved to see his friend. "You late, old chap?" Browning smiled at Sue Wei. "Thought you'd changed your mind." Nifu shook his head. "I have no choice." He spoke with an acquired Oxford accent. Browning nodded. "Nor I. The white man's Chinese domain is no more." He mopped the moisture from his brow with a silk handkerchief. "Bloody hot, even for May, hardly a breath of air." Nifu offered his friend an envelope filled with yen. "For your kindness." "Nonsense," Browning responded, refusing compensation. "What I've learned can never be repaid. You're a great doctor and teacher."
"What will you do now, Denton?"
"May? I was meant to be an English country doctor. I'll set up practice in Surrey, find a wife, have kids, spend my weekends tending a vegetable garden. I'll become famous for the biggest tomatoes in the county." He laughed at the thought, then turned serious again. "Well, I only wish we could have tested your theories in the laboratory."
Nifu shrugged. Two long blasts erupted from the freighter stacks. Browning grabbed his leather valise and reached for Sue's hand.
"We better board or we'll miss the boat."
Su Wei began to weep. Although she knew a little English, she spoke in Chinese. "I don't want to leave you, father. Please don't make me go."
Fearing he might never see her again, Nifu stared at his child as if to burn her image into his memory.
Lovely Su Wei, as beautiful as her name that meant poem and flower.
The Chinese in him wondered if the geomancer hadn't been right after all.
"You must call your beautiful child ugly, or the gods will punish you for the sin of pride."
But the scientist in Nifu refused to believe in feng shui or joss or any of that superstitious hogwash. He feigned a smile for his daughter.
"You'll be safe in America."
"Don't worry, old man. Once we get to Hong Kong, I'll put her on the first boat to San Francisco and wire your sister to meet her."
Browning patted Nifu's arm.
"She'll be fine."
"Who will care for you if I leave?" Su Wei asked solemnly, her eyes glistening.
Nifu looked at this grave, almond-eyed child forced to grow up so quickly. He yearned to tell her he was on the verge of a great discovery, the key to a secret that would free mankind forever. But he knew she was too young to understand, and he didn't dare let Browning know that he'd already begun testing his theory. Instead, he pulled a jade locket on a gold chain from his pocket and fastened it around her neck. Inside, he placed a picture of his wife so the child would not forget. "Do you know what this means?" he asked, pointing to the gold Chinese letters.
"Show? It means long life," said the child, wiping a tear that had trickled down her cheek.
Nifu folded his arms around his little daughter and held her close.
"Wear this always, and never forget that you are Chinese," he whispered in his native tongue. "Someday..."